Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ, Bucky, back together as we march towards the conference championship games this weekend. We will have plenty of time to dig into those on the next episode. Today, though, Buck, we are talking your mock draft, your first of this draft season. First of all, before we dig into it, all positive, I assume, right? All positive vibes and mentions on social media for you after this thing?
It was fairly positive because I didn't check my mentions, so I don't know what has been said about the mock draft. Mock drafts are what we hear, what we project based on what we know about the history of the team or the person that picks the players and how they may stylistically fit. So it's a difference. So before you at me about, well, why do you like this player more than that? This is me putting on my GM hat for 32 different teams and saying, here's what I think they will do based on either what I hear or what I know to be true about the team.
Yeah, we've both been trying to explain this for a decade plus. It's not going to matter. You're still going to get it. You're still going to think people believe in that you like this player over that player, and you're going to get grief. So you can put all the disclaimers out there that you want. It ain't going to help. Let's jump into this thing here. Why don't you rip off what you have here from 1 to 10, the names and the teams, and we'll find a couple discussion points here within your top 10. Fire away, Buck.
Okay, Chicago Bears, number one pick, goes to Will Anderson. Houston Texans take Bryce Young to be their quarterback of the future. The Arizona Cardinals select Georgia defensive tackle Jalen Carter. At 4, the Indianapolis Colts get C.J. Stroud. Seattle Seahawks at 5 take Tyree Wilson. At 6, Brian Breezy goes to Detroit. 7, the Las Vegas Paris Johnson Jr. At 8, the Atlanta Falcons continue to add to their offensive line with Peter Skoronski. At 9, the Carolina Panthers, Will Levis. And 10, the Philadelphia Eagles take another pass rusher and Miles Murphy from Clemson.
Yeah, a lot to jump into here. Let's start with the first overall pick. I had Jalen Carter going 1. Again, no trades for either one of us in these early mock drafts. So assuming the Bears cannot get out of there, somebody wants to come up for a quarterback. I had Jalen Carter going 1. You have Will Anderson. We talked about it the other day, but you've got edge rusher versus a defensive tackle. I don't know that there's a wrong answer here, but why Will Anderson over Jalen Carter, Buck?
Yeah, and looking back at Matt Eberflus's history, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, he needs someone that can get after the passer, and he's done it a few different ways. He had DeForest Buckner with the Indianapolis Colts. He also had a handful of guys that they invested in coming off the edge. They were speed rushers. Will Anderson is the most accomplished pass rusher in the class. Coming off the edge, you talk about the energy, the pass rush prowess, and then the football character. To me, it just seems like he would be a perfect fit as a foundational piece to that defense.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't even decided how I'm going to shake that out between those two guys. I have the same grade on both of them. I think they're both outstanding. I don't know if there's a wrong answer there, whether you want an interior guy or somebody coming off the edge like Will Anderson. A couple other ones I want to hit on here. C.J. Stroud, number 4 to the Indianapolis Colts. Now, one of the benefits the listeners have, and those that watch our show know that Bucky has a relationship with a lot of these kids going back to their time in high school. And I know you coached C.J. Stroud in 7-on-7 there at the Nike opening. What's something about him that maybe we don't know, or maybe the listener, the watcher does not know, other than what they've seen on TV and watching Ohio State games about C.J. Stroud?
You know, what's interesting about that experience back at the opening, C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young were both on my team. Bryce Young was he was much acclaimed. He was the ballyhooed recruit. C.J. Stroud had kind of flown under the radar. But at that opening over the weekend, he really popped. Outstanding player, outstanding poise and presence, did a really good job of taking what we were giving him and taking it to the next level. And by the end of the weekend, he was a guy that was celebrated as the MVP because he was so on point when it came to the way that he played and the way that he led his team. That's it. You watch him at Ohio State, and there's a lot to really love about his game. I mean, he has outstanding arm talent, did a really good job of like racking up the numbers at Ohio State. But what I liked about it, in his last game, he let us know what his potential could be. Coming off a very disappointing effort against Michigan in terms of the team losing to Michigan for the second straight year, he was at his best in the playoff. The way that he sliced and diced the Georgia Bulldog defense, I think you could envision him really growing into maybe a special player at the next level. And because of that, I'm thinking Indianapolis Colts. Look, this is a team. When they've had A-plus quarterbacks, they've won a lot of games. Going back to Peyton Manning, what they did with Andrew Luck. Well, now you give them a top prospect, I think they can build around him and quickly return to prominence with him as a QB1.
All right, we'll keep it moving here in just a second. I want to give you one exercise, though. It's always fun. This is kind of stuff we would do in the draft room. But C.J. Stroud, if you're going to go letter grades, right? And so I'm going to give you two categories as a point guard and as a playmaker. So you've got A to F. How would you grade him as a point guard? How would you grade him as a playmaker?
You know, it's funny because I would say as a point guard, in terms of being a pass first point guard, getting things out, I think he hits that line between A minus B plus. As a playmaker, meaning creativity and all that other stuff, I would just say a solid B. He doesn't necessarily use his athleticism to his advantage, and we didn't really see that until the football playoff. If there was one thing that I would add to the utility belt, I would encourage him. Man, if he can move around just a little bit and extend plays, that would add some stuff to the game. But right now, he is more of a pure shooter than playmaker, and so you have to understand that as you're building your team and you're thinking about quarterbacks that you want to add to your roster.
Yeah, I think I would probably go with an A-minus point guard. I think I would probably go B-minus as a playmaker. I think, you know, that last game against Georgia was great to see him move around, climb, extend plays. You just didn't see a lot of that throughout his career there at Ohio State. Not real sudden, not real explosive in short areas. But, man, get on time, get the ball out, get it where it needs to go. He throws a beautiful ball. I think he's absolutely a distributor. So it'll be interesting to see. I think the Colts are a good fit because of that offensive line. They need to add some more pieces there, but they've got a couple bedrocks they can build around and put that wall in front of him, let him play point guard there for the Colts. Not a bad option there at number four. All right, Brian Breesy at number six is a polarizing player. To me, you have him going to the Lions here at six, a team that wants to address their defensive front. So before I give you my take on him, Buck, why him, why there, why the sixth overall pick?
Well, I'm sitting here thinking, and I know he's coming off injuries and those things, but I'm sitting here thinking about Dan Campbell and the defense and what they're trying to put together. Like, they want to put together a rough and tumble defense that is loaded with high energy guys with the right temperament to kind of fit the culture in Detroit. They talk about grit and those things. And so when I look at Breesy, I think he's a perfect guy to put alongside Aiden Hutchinson. I think some of the other pass rushers that they have, James Houston and all these young guys, they all play at a breakneck pace. And so I'm thinking about Breesy at his best. He's another guy that could jump in and add to that. And so I think they need an interior player more than an outside player, because that's me projecting James Houston to be more of a factor for them in the future coming off the edge. And I think it's a perfect spot because they don't have anybody on the inside that can rush the pass.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting player, man, because he is powerful. He'll kind of wrestle you. He does flash some quickness. I just thought, you know, with the knee and just a little bit stiff, you know, and not one of those real loose, fluid, dynamic guys, just kind of quick, a little upright, a little bit stiff. I think he'll be all over the board for teams. You're going to see some have him way up there and some will have him down a little bit lower, Buck.
It is funny because when you go and you look, and naturally we do it because we look around and we look at other mock drafts and you see, and when we talk to our guys, you hear the different opinions. And so he is one of those guys where you look around and he could go as high as we talk about, top 10 for a team that's desperate. He could go to the bottom of the first round, maybe even fall out. It's just one of those things very early in the process. You don't know where he is, but you know, you recognize that he has first round talent, but does he have those other things that really solidifies him as a top 10 pick?
Yeah, one more I want to hit on here. Paris Johnson right behind him. I think it's going to be an interesting discussion between him and Skoronski. Some teams have Skoronski sliding inside playing guard. I think he could hold up at tackle. It's a similar debate to what we have with Rashawn Slater in terms of some people concerned about the length. Does he play guard? Does he play tackle? I think Skoronski could play either place. Paris Johnson, a true tackle, though, Very athletic to me. It's going to be fascinating to see how those two guys come off the board because you have a lot of upside there in Paris Johnson. I like to see him bend a little bit better, but size, quickness, the ability to recover is actually pretty good as well. There was times, I think in the Michigan game, he got beat inside for a sack on that one, inside shoulder. Just be a little more firm. Just needs to get physically stronger. He will as he gets older and just play a little more bend. Something to keep an eye on there. But there's a huge upside with Paris Johnson. Definitely the size of quickness that you're looking for there. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll jump in here 11 to 20 and dig a little deeper on Bucky's mock draft 1.0.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Titans Hall of Famer and Tennessee State head coach Eddie George faces off against his former NFL coach Jeff Fisher as some of the best up-and-coming draft-eligible players get ready to show off their skills for NFL teams. It's the 11th annual NFLPA Collegiate Bowl, Saturday, January 28th, 6 p.m. Eastern, only on NFL Network. Now, looking forward to watching that one, Buck, and looking forward to digging in here to the rest of your mock draft. Let's get picks 11 through 20. Why don't you rattle those picks off and we'll find a couple discussion points to dig into here.
All right, here we go. At 11, Broderick Jones goes to the Tennessee Titans. At 12, we have Quentin Johnson going to TCU. From TCU going to the Houston Texans. The New York Jets take another offensive lineman, Osiris Torrance, from Florida. The New England Patriots take Michael Meyer from Notre Dame. At 16, the Green Bay Packers take Brian Branch from Alabama. Washington Commanders, Devin Witherspoon, cornerback from Illinois. Pittsburgh, Joey Porter Jr., which would be funny because his dad obviously played there. The Detroit Lions take Christian Gonzalez, cornerback from Oregon. Tampa Bay Buccaneers take Drew Sanders from Arkansas. And 20, Jackson Smith and Nigba from Ohio State, giving them another outside playmaker to join DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett.
Yeah, I like that one. That's a good fit there. Talk about having some weapons there for Geno Smith. A couple things here. I want to start, first of all, real quick on number 11. I know it's a new general manager there. I know Rand Carthon's coming in there. But you think about the Tennessee Titans completely whiffing on Isaiah Wilson out of Georgia. Have you been in the room, been on teams where you've missed on a player from a certain school at a certain position that maybe leaves you a little bit shy about going back to the same school for the same position?
Oh, I can tell you a better story. When I was with the Seattle Seahawks, Mike Holmgren played at USC. We did not take players from UCLA when I was there. He had a disdain for those guys. He liked they were right fits or whatever. So, yeah, I have seen that come true. And, yeah, it sometimes it's tough to go shopping at the same store when you've had a bad experience. And I'm banking that new general manager, you don't have that history. Maybe they go back to Georgia and see if they can get it right this time.
Yeah, one of the studies I want to dig into is coming up here with this next pick. Quentin Johnson from TCU. Think about Houston Texans taking him. He is big. He is fast. He's made a ton of big plays there for the Horned Frogs as they went all the way to the national championship game. Buck, you have him going there 12. The concern for me would be the drops. I think his drop percentage is over 10%, which is really, really high. That's a little bit of the knock. And I'm curious, you know, a study that I want to do, and we'll do it here over the next couple weeks. I want to do a study on Big 12 wideouts and how they've translated to the next level. I know a couple that I've missed on, thinking about guys like Kevin White, Corey Coleman. It's there aren't a ton of those guys. As much as they throw the ball and as successful as they are in college, there aren't a ton of those guys that have lived up to it there at the next level. Does that concern you at all with Quentin Johnson? And what are your thoughts? Again, similar conversation we just had there. But in terms of conferences producing certain players at certain positions.
Oh, I mean, I think your concerns are valid. When I look at him, he's pretty much a straight line guy. He's a big playmaker, but he's not necessarily what we call a craftsman, a polished wide receiver that can make things happen. In this scenario, what I'm thinking about the Houston Texans, they have to be able to generate points. And I'm trying to figure out who you could pair with Nico Collins to give them a compliment. He takes the speed. Nico Collins is the jump ball specialist. And then you add a slot receiver when you think about how they normally want to get down. Yeah, that evaluation that we're going to have on Quentin Richardson, Quentin Johnson, and some of the other guys will be interesting because he's not the guys that we've talked about that normally pop at the next level immediately. When we talked about Justin Jefferson and Cooper Kupp, those guys that could run routes and do those things, that's not his bag. And that's also hasn't been in the bag of a lot of those Big 12 wide receivers that we've talked about up at the top of the charts.
Yeah, in terms of the early round wideouts, I would say CeeDee Lamb. And then I guess at that point in time, when Christian Kirk was coming out, I can't remember if they were already in the SEC or not coming out of A&M. But those would be kind of the last two. CeeDee Lamb is obviously a great player there. So it's not like you can't find them. But there are some busts, you know, kind of surrounding those guys. Interesting discussion as we move on here. We've got 15, Brian Branch from Alabama, plays nickel, can play safety, can do a lot of different things. I mean, we've said this for years, right? I mean, the nickel's a starter in this league. So you've got to have three corners. He's pretty dynamic in there with what he can do, playing the run, blitzing, doing those different things. I mean, if you have it, if you have a grade that's a little bit higher on a nickel, versus maybe a little bit lower with an outside corner, how would you go about navigating those waters, Buck?
Well, I mean, I think normally, DJ, the way I view the nickel position, some people view it as a throwaway position. That's the place where you put all the little guys. But I believe your most skilled corner has to play in the nickel because it's a different position than anything else. You got to be able to be tough enough to deal with the run game. You have to handle wide receivers and what they call two-way goals, which is a different set of skills that you must possess. And depending on how they deploy the nickel, you got to be a high IQ player because there's a lot of different things that you have to be responsible for that you're not tasked with on the perimeter. And so I like Brian Branch, and I think playing in that Alabama system certainly prepares you to have a lot of success. I think about Minkah Fitzpatrick, who played in there early in his career at Alabama before moving to safety and doing some of that stuff. Those guys that play that spot normally go on to be versatile Swiss Army knives in the National Football League. I think he's another one coming out of Alabama that should be able to have some of that ability.
Interesting stuff. Yeah, to me, again, if you got a higher grade, you take him. You take him over somebody that's just purely an outside guy because that is such a valuable position right now. And they're being brought into the run game so much. You need somebody that's an excellent tackler. He is a phenomenal tackler against the run. Drew Sanders, 19, to the Tampa Bay Bucks. 6'5", off-the-ball linebacker, transferred from Alabama to Arkansas. Kind of looks like this trend that we've seen over the last handful of years, Buck. You see it with the Jags, with the two linebackers they took that played well this past season. Length feels like it's more coveted, size and length off the ball linebacker than we've seen maybe in decades prior.
Yeah, no, you got to have size. I think the game is we always talk about it's cyclical. The game is coming back where it was nice for a little while where we had the undersized linebackers that were fast and they could do those things. When now teams are running the football. Just look at what we've seen in the tournament so far. Teams are running the ball. They're running the little guys off the field. And so you need to have linebackers that have some thump, but they also need to be able to handle their business in coverage. If they can add something to the pass rush as blitzers and those things, it certainly helps your defense because they can be 2-3 down players. And so Sanders is a very productive player that does a lot, brings a lot to the table. And when I think about the Bucks and what they need, they're going to need someone to be able to replace Lavonte David. Someone that can go alongside Devin White and help him. And I think he is a guy who certainly has the IQ and aptitude to be able to do that.
No doubt. I think it's, again, teams looking for that, trying to find that size, length, range, speed, be able to clog passing lanes, not only with your speed, but with your length as well. All right, there you go. That's picks 11 through 20. And we're going to come back again. Only 31 picks this year. We do not have 32 because the Miami Dolphins have to forfeit their first round pick for getting a little trouble. But we'll get to picks 21 through 31. We'll do that right after this break.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
All right, Buck, let's keep the train moving here. This is the final third of your mock draft. These are picks 21 through 31. And this is kind of always a fascinating part to me because you've got playoff teams, you've got really good football teams looking to try and tinker and toy and get those last little pieces to fit to try and chase a championship here. It starts with the Chargers at 21. What do you have here? Rip off these names with teams, and we'll see again a couple interesting ones to keep an eye on.
So your Chargers, Bijan Robinson from Texas, running back, be the first running back to go in the first round. The Baltimore Ravens taking Anthony Richardson, quarterback from Florida. Minnesota Vikings, Sam Smith, another DB from South Carolina. The Jacksonville Jaguars go to Georgia again, get another corner, Kaylee Ringo. The New York Giants at 25. How about Zay Flowers from Boston College? The Dallas Cowboys, Deontay Banks from Maryland. The Buffalo Bills at 27, take a wide receiver in Jordan Addison from USC. Cincinnati Bengals, tight end Darnell Washington from Georgia. The 29, the Denver Broncos, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa. 30, the Kansas City Chiefs, Antonio Johnson, Texas A&M. 31, another running back to the Philadelphia Eagles, Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama.
Yeah, we've got bookend running backs here. Again, Bijan Robinson. Think about how good Austin Eckler's been with the 18 touchdowns, but he did not have many 100-yard games this year. This is a team that did not run the ball very well. He was obviously made it count, very efficient, caught over 100 balls, is a fantastic player. They drafted Isaiah Spiller last year to try and be that complement. He was injured, never really kind of got rolling. Josh Kelly did a solid job filling into that role, but I think trying to find another bigger back to complement Austin Eckler makes sense, whether or not they do it here in the first round or maybe try and find another one in the middle rounds. But Bijan Robinson, to me, is a value at this point in time. The 21st pick, I think he's a top 10 player in this draft class, so I like what you did there. I want to ask you about pick 25, the New York Giants. Going with a receiver, not a surprise. Maybe a surprise to some people who aren't familiar with Zay Flowers and what he brings to the table.
Yeah, DJ, we talk about guys who have those skills, craftsmen, guys that can run routes and get out of in and out of breaks and create space and separation and make these plays down the field. Zay Flowers can certainly do that. And then when you think about the history of the New York Giants, man, you talk about teams that like to shop in certain stores. They've had a lot of success going to Boston College and finding their players. I think he's another guy that fits. And I also like the fact that he played up in the Northeast. And so when you talk about cold, wind, weather, he's dealt with all of that stuff. I just think he's a really good player. I think he'd be a nice fit for the Giants.
Yeah, my comp for him, looking back through my notes, was T.Y. Hilton. I really like him. He's a good football player. Looking forward to seeing him in the spring. But really, really crisp. Everything he does is very, very crisp. So be an interesting one to keep an eye on there, see what the Giants end up doing. They have to get more firepower offensively, without a doubt. I want to get to a big corner here. Deontay Banks from Maryland, you had 26 going to the Dallas Cowboys. I feel like there's a clump, about four or five guys that are going to be in this range, late one, early two, those big, long, physical corners can really run with Deontay Banks. But why that position with the Cowboys?
Because you saw it. You saw it in the playoffs. And even though the Cowboys defense played lights out against the 49ers, they struggled the last part of the season once Anthony Brown got hurt at corner. They've tried to draft some other players, have not had success finding that role. I know they took Kelvin Joseph a couple years ago, like Sean Wright. They just haven't been able to get it. So now let's go and get someone that's tall, that's athletic. Let's go someone who has, I would say, first-round measurables. When you look at it, you put him opposite Trayvon Diggs, and now you're able to kind of play the style of defense that you need to play. We always talk about it. You need to build your team to win a division. And when I look at those Philadelphia Eagles and the receivers that they have on the outside, Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown, you better make sure you have two, maybe three corners, high-end corners that can match up. The Cowboys have to invest in that position.
Yeah, I want to get to one more here before we wrap this thing up here. The 28th pick. Darnell Washington, the big tight end from Georgia. You have him going here to the Cincinnati Bengals. I love this fit. You saw what the Cincinnati Bengals did last week against the Buffalo Bills. You talked about, you know, teams that are still playing that can run the football and be physical. This is playing with a sixth offensive lineman. He is massive, and he is unbelievable in the run game. He will not only, you know, fight to a stalemate, he'll create movement at the point of attack. He'll drive guys. He can, on down blocks, create all kinds of movement. He can work up to the second level. He gives you a lot of versatility in the run game with what he can do. And then I think he's still growing as a pass receiver. I think you see somebody who's got better throughout his time there at Georgia. He's always going to be able to run straight lines. You're going to be able to get him down the seam. You're going to be able to get him on shallow crossers. Now, is he an option route guy at this point in time to be able to settle his way to the top of routes to create separation that way? I don't think so. You know, maybe you're going to get more of that as he continues to play more and get more experience in the passing game. But Buck, I've got a moving billboard down the field. We used the same analogy last year for Jelani Woods, the big tight end out of Virginia who went to the Colts. This is an enormous target in the pass game, but I think the value there is what he gives you in the run game.
Yeah, the value. Let's think about their offensive line and the issues that they've had. We've seen teams use a 6 offensive lineman to stabilize the running game. The Cincinnati Bengals now have that with another tight end. And if you think whatever they do, bringing them back, being able to be more multiple offense, this is a really good football team already, Cincinnati Bengals. And we can talk about their line woes. They tried to address it. But adding another edge player, a guy who is terrific in the run game, only gives them an opportunity to balance out what they do and add more diversity to the packages that they use. So they're not just all 11 personnel. They can go some 12 personnel, 1 back, 2 tight ends, and do some different things to create different looks for Joe Burrow.
Yeah, I love that. I love that pick absolutely. Again, you finish it off there with Jahmyr Gibbs from Alabama going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, the Eagles with 2 first-round picks. Howie Roseman making his magic work here in the trade market. To think a team that's a game away from going to the Super Bowl, and here they're going to come back with 2 first-round picks. That's GMing right there. That's good GMing by Howie Roseman and the Philadelphia Eagles. This has been fun, Buck. It's been great to kind of dig into your mock draft. Again, be on the lookout. You'll have your top 5 by position. That's going to be coming out before too long. I'll have my top 50 list, which I'm trying to polish up right now. That'll be on the way as well. All your draft content, all your draft needs, we're going to have them. We're going to have you covered right here on our show. Also, going to be back later this week, and we are going to dig into these conference championship games with a little detailed preview, how these teams were built, what makes them unique and special, and who we like to move on to meet in Phoenix for the Super Bowl. So be on the lookout for that. Appreciate you hanging with us right here on Move the Sticks.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.